Welcome to Executing the Vision Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hunter, president of Emerge Labs. On the podcast, we'll get to know the person behind the vision, their successes, their challenges, and their plans for the future. If you're interested in becoming a guest or know someone who might be a good fit, stick around to the end and we'll discuss how to apply. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome to Executing the Vision. Got Eric Berman here, and I've known Eric for a while, but I'm actually quite excited to really officially kind of hear the whole story and understand he's a guy that's always had a lot of things going on over the years. Really excited to officially sit down and hear the whole thing. Let's start with the idea of what you're up to right now today.
Got it. All right. Well, actually, I like to say recently, I've been saying I'm running three businesses right now.
Okay. So I was wondering where exactly things are at the moment.
Well, business number one is the new family, as you know. So I call that a business because there's a lot going on there. But that's, you know, the new three-year-old tomorrow and an 8-month-old. But on the other side, the business, we have what I've been doing for a long time, which is the agency called Branditize, a full service agency, and we'll sure we can get into that. And then the second thing is the one that I'm more excited about right now. It's called the Speakeasy Mastermind. So I can get deeper in each, but that's what I'm up to now, is running those two different businesses and a family.
Okay. Perfect. So first thing, let's start at the beginning a little bit to give people a background. Give me the rundown. Like, where did you grow up? What was life about growing up? And then, you know, an important lesson you maybe learned in childhood that you feel applies today to business.
Ooh, okay. So grew up in Calabasas, or I should say the Valley, but all made my way ultimately through Calabasas, California, in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. Decent little childhood. I like to say in hindsight, I realized I was like the poorest kid in a fairly affluent community. So what I found out is my family was barely able to survive and found a house that happened to be in a good district. And so I learned that after the fact, and looking in hindsight, it was kind of funny driving around the junk car where like these kids had these nice cars. Anyway, went off to UC San Diego, and that's what brought me to San Diego, where of course I met you and many others. And I've been in San Diego for many, many years now, and this is the home, and I love it out here. And as far as a childlike lesson, wow. I think just growing up, you know, just really competitive, worked hard, took ownership of everything I've done. It was always just like a grinder and that didn't complain too much, and just fought hard to get to the next. I think there was a competitive spirit, like always just pushing hard to get to the next spot with whatever I was doing.
And I would say one thing that I've always noticed from you, it seems very natural for you to just constantly go out of your way for others and kind of be that connector. And I'm curious as to where that came from. Because, dude, it seems like nothing. It just seems like the way you're constantly living, the way you're constantly doing things. But I feel like for most people, that's not necessarily such a reality.
Yeah, good question. You know, I think we're certain, you know, I've done a bunch of personality tests and such. I think we're born with certain things. I mean, one thing I do remember, and that was the other part of my, I guess, I think I have a better answer to your question, is that I was always the guy who was in all the different factions and groups, whether it was college or school. Like, I was friends with the surfing group, and then the accelerated class, and then the cool kids, the nerdy kids, you know, in high school. And then when I went to college, I was like, in a fraternity, I'm like, well, why would I be in one fraternity when I can just like go to the parties of all the fraternities and just be friends with everybody? So I just had that away. And I guess I just learned that skill of trying to give. I don't know where it came from. I really don't know if this is my upbringing with my parents, but it was always try to figure out ways to serve, figure out what people need, how you can help them. And then selfishly, that would always give me an opportunity that if I ever needed cash in a ticket, if you will, or had an ask, which funny enough is you don't really have it made too many times, but it's nice to know that I've done something for somebody first. So if I ever did have that ask, I have a lot of favors coming my way. So that was just sort of a skill that I learned, and it worked for me in the world of business development, making friends, and just getting out there and doing things.
Okay. Yeah, but yes, it is quite a skill you have. It's
Thank
definitely
you. Thank you.
a nice thing to be around and see.
I
And it
appreciate that.
seems like it very much so just comes naturally. Okay, so let's talk about business here. And then you tell me like which one you want to focus on and talk about. So yes, fire
Yeah.
away.
Oh, well, I'll do a little both a little bit. I mean, do you want me to start today? Do you want me to go in the past, or where would you like me to hit?
Yeah, let's start with the idea of how did you get into brand ties and everything there, right? Because that's got to be a little further back.
Yeah,
How did you?
let me do a little backstory, because it'll kind of relate. I'll give you the quickest, the fastest possible to where I am today. So after college, didn't want to jump into the regular job like everybody else did. Had a really good GPA out of UCSD in the finance or the business side of things. Didn't take that first job, but what I got excited about was when people around me said, the first guy I ran into says, "Hey, we're doing this cool thing. I got a buddy who's building this concept, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Oh, that sounds cool. I'll go meet him." And I sat down immediately. I'm like, "This is great. Where's my seat?" And it was one of those things where I didn't realize at the time that I was an entrepreneur, but when I didn't take that corporate job and I went in and wanted to go build something, you reflect and say, I guess I had that entrepreneurial spirit. In fact, I worked the first 18 months out of college and had zero salary. I was motivated by building something cool and having that vision to say, hey, we're going after something massive here. It wasn't like a small thing we were going after. That led to me being in my early 20s, and building what was in hindsight the first social media platform that existed called it was actually called College Club back in the day. This is prior to the MySpaces and the Facebooks and everything else. And to give you some context, 7 years later, when we had just filed to go public, and I was 27 years old, running a company of 400 employees in my 20s, after having raised $100 million and all the stuff we went through, we were the number one website for the college demographic and the entire internet, and we were the 40th biggest biggest site in the entire internet back in the year 2000. So this is early days, and I was probably 3 4 months from being retired at mid 20s, the late 20s, 27, 28, and then the market crashed, the first big market crash of 2000. So crazy whirlwind. At that point, you think nothing's going to go wrong, and you've done it. You've worked 7 days a week for, that was my whole life. I lived in a bubble. I didn't slept in the office, did everything that all the stories you hear. Got an amazing experience in my 20s that you couldn't buy anywhere else. Then we lost everything because the market crashed, and it was really tough blows and on all that. But I think I just, I'm generally trying to stay positive, and I'm not the kind of person that says I'm sitting around and be bummed and cry about it all day. And I always look at stuff and say, well, what can I learn from this? And how do I just take it and move on to the next thing? Because that's going to be a better place for me mentally to be at. So I try my best to do that. And the one thing I always say is you can't take away the experiences I got in my 20s. And it's a lot easier to lose paper money than it would have been to have lost a bunch of money that was in a bank account. That's something you ripped off, it ripped away the bank account. And I never had money. So like I grew up and just sort of, made it all happen myself. Had a job, three jobs in school and everything I could. So it's like, okay, so that experience led me into the world of doing some consulting for businesses and with the internet side. And I met a famous guy named Brian Tracy. He's a big motivational speaker, and that led to a consulting gig with him. And he didn't help building up an internet his website, and that I ultimately I get I started working. That became the premise of where I am today in the agency Brandatize. Where I started working with people like Brian Tracy and other experts and gurus and authors and speakers. And now really anybody who's an influencer, celebrity, anybody out there who's trying to build up a, who's got a brand or a product and is trying to build a following behind that and needs to build products and needs teams, all that. That's what we do at Brandatize. And that's led to that career as running an agency. I'll shift through that. And there's lots of ups and downs over that since we've been doing that forever. And more recently, circling back to what you actually said earlier, is one of the things that was missing for me this entire time at the agency, it wasn't necessarily hitting my area of genius. I liked building the team, and it was nice, and it's been, decent running an agency. But the ability to bring people together and network and share and try to help people out and connect people has been something I've been great at. and I love doing, and that's ultimately what I'm doing now with the mastermind, which is called the Speakeasy Mastermind. And what we're doing now is we are connecting people, both of me say we're connecting people locally, or meet, I'm sorry, everybody gets to meet locally, but we're connecting people globally on a common niche. So we're niching down to people that are entrepreneurs, business owners, and anybody who's is marketing centric, or I'd say actively focused on marketing, sales, biz dev. And we're creating a community, a tribe of people to say, hey, let's meet once a month with about 20, 25, 30 people in your local city. So you get that rhythm of meeting once a month, and we all tactically are doing similar things so we can get in the weeds and really share. And then let's also connect people globally through an app and through experiences. So if I'm traveling to Austin or Scottsdale or Vegas and I want to go have dinner with that chapter, I get to go meet a bunch of great people, and there's a lot of cool things we're doing. So I'm sort of fostering this amazing community of like-minded, marketing-centric entrepreneurs, and I'm having a blast doing it.
Okay, so that first story, I had no idea. You're talking like straight social network. Like when you watch that movie Social Network, you must have just been like, oh my God, that was my life.
Well, I got a better one for you. So it turns out my brother was one of the founders of MySpace.
Oh, okay.
So we had social in our blood, so it was crazy. So yeah, I was that guy. I definitely have brother envy to some degree, where you know he ended up getting the big prize, going second after me on that deal. But yes, looking at that movie and seeing the stuff, the things we had at our business, everybody later did. It was the same vision. That was our initial crazy vision that the guy that started the company, the real visionary at the time, had, which is if we can aggregate the college eyeballs. It started with the college community. That was the most coveted sort of demographic from advertisers to quote, capture the minds of college students early on and then build out from there. And that was sort of the concept back in the day. Crazy, crazy ride.
Yeah. Okay. And now moving on to brandetize. So, you know, to me, like the digital mark advertising space, you know, that realm, you know, when people talk about like, oh my God, AI, it's going to change the world. It's going to blah, 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 blah. I mean, to me, it seems like that space is the one space for like, yeah, it's just got to be throwing so many different things so consistently, you know, like in my world, I mean, we do software development, and honestly, in my world, like it hasn't had much of an impact at all on what we do in the way we, you know, it's like there's people that are working on that and blah, blah, blah. But when I look at AI, a lot of times, you know, I look at like, okay, you know, I mean, you know, they claim it's going to write code. It can't write code. You know, like, and I don't even think that's in the necessarily near future. So I follow all this stuff, right? And usually what I'm looking at it from the lens of just like, eh, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be quite living up. But then the one thing I do see is, you know, some of those things in that space of like, well, wow, like what it does seem to be doing right now today is that. So just seems like that side of things has to be pretty wild as far as just being in the middle of all of these constant crazy AI advancements. It seems like it has to be coming at you from every angle. And how are you guys like tackling that and adjusting? Because man, it just seems like as far as businesses that have to just be like,
you have to. It's crazy. What's happening is, first of all, you're going to get a ton of people out there that are. I'm going to be able to offer things cheaply, more efficiently, depending on certain things, skills you're trying to do. And you're probably already seeing that in things you hire for the work you're doing and other stuff. The reality is there's still an element of somebody doing strategic thinking, and somebody still has to implement. And you're always going to have people that just don't want to deal with it and delegate. And they may say, well, yeah, I know I can probably sit there and do AI and figure it out. But like, you know, I know you and I've seen you work, you know, you're somebody who says, you know, I'll actually do the work. I'll get down to the weeds and learn it myself and figure it out. And there's a lot of people that won't. They're just like, I understand and get it. I just want to hire somebody else to go do it and somebody I trust. And so we have a good reputation of a company doing things, but that does also mean that we're going to be able to operate more efficiently with strategy and with thinking and meaning maybe getting more work done at a faster rate, which also benefits the client. Am I sitting here saying, I have no fear at all about what AI is going to do in my company. No. I think it's just, you have to be on top of it and sort of say, okay, well, how can we leverage AI to do work, to be smarter within our company? you know, it's something we talk to our team about all the time. You know, right now in employee reviews, we have a new mantra now, like in your one-on-one check-ins, the managers are asking, show me how you're using AI in your work. We make it very clear to our team, if you're not using AI, like, and we're here to help you. We're not just demanding, like, just go do it. Like, show us. We have people on our team that are very savvy on AI. Get with that person, have them help you start to get familiar with it. And if you're not using it, then you might have, you probably are not going to have a job here much longer because everybody has to figure out how they're leveraging it within the areas they're at. So that's a little bit how we're dealing with it. And of course, you know, we're constantly sharing, you know, more innovative. Hey, did you check this thing out for the stuff you're doing? Did you check that out? And I'm hearing from my own masterminds about what the latest and greatest are. So I get to leverage the being sort of at the cutting edge of stuff and sharing that with my team.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I had a call just the other day, like the last podcast I did, was with a call center, a guy that has a big call center down in Costa Rica. Oh, yeah. It's the same thing, right? I mean, talk about like industries that are really being, and to me, you know, I mean, my thought on all of it is it drives more importance to that human connection, you know, it just drives because, you know, I was just telling him, it's like, you know, when I deal with like companies now where so much of their customer service is so AI bot driven, that like, if you can just point me in the direction of a company where I know they're going to pick up the phone, they have my business, you know, like
that's right. Well, that's another part where the future is going to be, right? If somebody goes so far to one direction on AI, then you're right. They're going to lose people like you because it's like, you just need to talk to somebody.
Yeah. And it's like people get so excited about these cost saving, these efficiencies and blah, blah, blah. But then from the customer perspective, it's like just crazy. I mean, like the whole bank credit card world, trying to get in touch with a human being on that side of the fence is just so wild. You know, like
it's not
the and this and that, where like, for sure, if I knew that there was a company that had a good reputation for that, that's just who I'd work with for that reason alone, because it drives so crazy of like, just have a simple question. A human being could answer this in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Wasted 45 minutes of going through these menus and blah, blah, blah. But yeah. So that's always kind of my thing on it. It's like, gosh, I feel like the companies that kind of embrace human interaction in my world are going to do better than the ones that embrace AI, you know, because everybody's kind of ahead of that. So then talk to me. I really want to understand the whole thing, you know, with the speakeasy, you know, kind of understanding, because I'm just recently now getting more involved in that world personally, so that the business model you have and the way you're attacking this as compared to maybe more traditional ones is just seems very appealing to me. So explain, you know, kind of, because you previously had been heavily involved in that space, right? And so kind of explain how you came in, you've been involved in those types of things, you saw that business and you said, hey, think there's a better way to go about doing it, or just a different way that might be more appealing to people.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in masterminds for a while, and it's funny because what we tend to be good at and natural at seems like not a big deal. And then when you hear a bunch of people saying, wow, I really like what you've done here, I'd love to do this myself in my city. And you hear that enough times, you're like, well, maybe there's something cool special to me, because and that's something I've like, I go back and whatever share as I teach things, I think people tend to, the things that they're the best at seem so natural that they don't almost put too much value on the stuff they're actually doing because they're so good at it. And they realize other people are like, God, I wish I could do that. And so that's potentially where, you know, if you're a listener, you know, like where maybe that's the aha moment to say, well, this could be a business I do because people value it and you're good at it. So that's sort of a more macro going on a tangent there. But I started putting a dinner group together in San Diego for quite a bit, and there were some high level people. And somebody said, you know, it'd be great to get us together, just the mastermind. And how do you wrangle in all these, you know, entrepreneurs are so busy, but we figured out a way to create the value, to use little things like, okay, if you don't show up, it's a $100 fine. Are you committed to at least showing up to dinners and making it worth people's time by putting quality people in that room that were there to actually get tactical and share and not just be like, you know, somebody who's just going to be a fly on the wall and taking notes and listening and asking questions. No, everybody there is to give and receive at the same kind of level and fostering that. So I did that for a bunch of years. And then after, like I said, a lot of people said, hey, I love how you have this great people model. How can you do it in my city? I finally said, well, let me try this in other cities. It worked. And then I finally put a price point on it and said, well, what's, you know, what are members willing to pay for this? And, you know, 1 year in, I do, you know, I'm able to charge people, and now I'll hopefully start to increase the price. And the value certainly goes up as the number of people that are in the community go up. And we're up to 8 active cities, with 2 more being launched next month, and then another like 4 or 5 slated to be launched a few months later. So with almost 200 members now, that are very similar avatars. So what I found in other groups, so back to your kind of question, I'm also a member of something called EO, for people that aren't familiar. That's a bunch of entrepreneur organizations, similar to YPO or a Vistage or other types of groups, that is a global organization. They do have monthly meetings with a avatar of like-minded people. In the case of EO, it's entrepreneurs that are doing at least $1 million of business. But what I found is a little bit of a gap for me in a couple of areas that I was offering through the mastermind I was doing. One is, we're not as tactical. When I can surround myself with 10 entrepreneurs, but like I could have a business, maybe somebody's got a SaaS business like you that does very little marketing. I'm not saying that's you in your case, but there could be people that are like, hey, I'm a SaaS company, or hey, I run a biodiesel company. Okay, well, that the conversations I'm having with people outside of the world I'm in is different. We can talk about what's it like to have a business partner, and have you dealt with this legal issue or that legal issue or other things, and that is useful, of course. But us to get into weeds and sit down and really get tactical about like, hey, have you seen this latest AI tool? How are you doing your paid media? How are you doing your marketing on this? Or, you know, let's talk about funnels. You know, this would be foreign to other people, and oftentimes, if I could be surrounded and talk to that group once a month and really be there to help each other and find ways to do business with each other of a like-minded group of trusted friends and colleagues, that was what was missing from other entities. And then on the other side, there are organizations and masterminds that you've seen and others that are like, hey, let's show up once a, you know, 2 times a year, we'll all show up at some crazy location and we'll all get together, and we're all, you know, high level people get together and we'll have a great 3 or 4 day experience. Fun, cool, you get some content, but then you go away and you're like, well, shit, it's gonna take me 3 years to really go deep with people, because I gotta keep showing up, and I get comfortable around the 3 or 4 people, but then I maybe meet a couple people, but that's it. So the frequency and the repetitiveness of that takes a lot more, and usually it's a much higher investment. So I said, let's take the best of both those worlds and combine this entity. And so far, we're getting really, really positive feedback, great results. You know, I love the fact that even you said earlier, it's not, if AI becomes the new story as it is, I'm sort of immune to that, because it doesn't matter. Like, this is about people getting together to share experiences, whether it's AI or the next thing. We still need that human connection. We're still going to show up once a month and talk about that next thing and how we can leverage that next thing into our businesses. So it's sort of I don't want to use a recession proof, because it's not a recession, but it's sort of like what's going on in the world proof. You know, we all want to get, you know, unless it's another pandemic where nobody's seeing each other, you know, we have this opportunity here. So that's what I'm excited about. And from a business aspect, getting a little more granular, but business aspect, from my standpoint, building something like this has more asset value. And an agency is sometimes really tough, because you're constantly working with clients. When you're in the service business or service industry, a lot of it is, you know, how many clients can you get? How long can you retain clients? And clients sometimes aren't always fun to work with. You know, they're out there and it's, what have you done for me lately? And you know, you got the right staff constantly out there to make sure everything is great all the time. Whereas this other entity, I can create a unique and amazing experience. And I can kind of hold on to that, retain that experience level, and build a really good asset for that. So that's where I've mentally been going to, and really, really happy with what I'm doing right there with that.
In what cities are you in now, and what cities are you going to soon?
Yeah, San Diego, Austin, Scottsdale, Vegas, LA, Tampa, Boca Raton, Salt Lake City. So that's what I'm in now. Coming up next, we have Atlanta and then the Denver, Boulder metro area. And then we have some commitments for the way we launch this is by finding a right city captain, city leader, and they also get a piece of the action. So finding the right proper city leader and then building around their network. And obviously the bigger we get from headquarters, the more we can start seeding different cities as well. So upcoming, we have cities most likely, it's not 100% confirmed, but I'm getting finding captains that looks like Calgary, Sydney, Indianapolis, I think Nashville, and we have the Orange County. We have a lot of interest to get something going to Vancouver, Chicago, San Francisco. All these are kind of like next in line, hey, if you will.
Ah, amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And to me, I mean, I spend a fair amount of time talking with entrepreneurs, you know, through just business ventures in general and people I know and networks that I'm just kind of in. And to me, I love the niche that you're in, you know, because personally, I was, you know, interested, kind of got to that point in my career where like, okay, you know, these mastermind things, I've never done them, but you know, they seem interesting. I'd like to look into this. And then you start looking into some, and it's like, geez, I mean, that's a lot of money, like a massive commitment. Like, I don't know if I'm that into it. I don't know if I feel like I'm missing out that much, you know. Or then when I hear of yours, it's like, okay, that to me just makes sense. You know, it seems like a price point that makes sense in the, you know, in the meeting with them, and just kind of the way you have it structured to me just seems a lot better. Because one thing for sure is I feel like the people that are unaware of what a mastermind is, and there's a bunch of them out there. There's a lot of entrepreneurs that I bring this concept up, and they're like, a what? A who? But 100%, they have that feeling of, you know, I'm just out there on my own. I don't know what I don't know. Boy, I sure wish I had, you know, just some people to be able to bounce some stuff off. My business is doing really well, but I've never dealt with this before. I've never dealt with that before. And I'm, you know, I just feel so like lost and confused. And then being able to go in situations like that, where, you know, you just spend a day, an afternoon, you get to talk to other entrepreneurs. And I think the whole thing just feels like,
That's
okay,
right.
other people are dealing with these same things. Like these problems, these answers to me that feel so, I don't even know where to begin. I just had a conversation, a 30-minute conversation with somebody that just made it feel so much easier. Gave me some like great free advice, good directions, good first steps, things like that. And I 100% can see the value. And to me, it's that question of like, you know, just being able to reach those people and get that message out to them that, hey, there's this resource here that can make your life so much easier, your business life. It doesn't have to feel so, you know, unknown and overwhelming. So a
Unnerving.
lot of other
No,
people have gone through it.
I appreciate you. I got to get you out there to do a pitch video on my site. That's exactly right. No, I love it. No, I mean, it's that. It's just, it's permission to talk business with friends. It's a business. It's you know, when everybody's there, knowing you're walking into a room where it's okay to ask, you know, for help and be vulnerable and say, hey, I need help with something, versus like, oh, okay, I got to call this person up. Hopefully, you know, do I have to give them something in return? But I feel awkward. No, it's like we're all in the room. Like, how can I help you? Like, look, oh, great. Like, people are, I feel good about solving problems for each other and having that confidential. And just also just, you know, with, you know, post pandemic and all that, and everybody, a lot of so many people working out of homes now, like, okay, I get my ass out of the house once a month and actually just go eyeball to eyeball with people and say hello. And it's just nice to do that.
I've been working on and off out of the house for shoot 10 years probably, something like that. And to me, I feel that's funny. I feel like people that are like new to it have been doing it for a year or so, you know, is that thing of like you have no idea how much eventually you're gonna value and miss just having that office environment and being around people. And you know, so yeah, from that general social aspect of having that like fun group of people to be around on a monthly basis, you know, that alone, even if you're not just the social part. So, but yeah, I can see why it's totally blown up. I mean, to me, it makes complete sense. And you know, whatever I can do to kind of help spread the word and help support it, I'm all in. I think it's amazing.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Good. Thank you.
And then, yeah, so I guess, you know, as far as just kind of some other things. So, number one, just tell me, how do people get in touch with you? Like, what is your ideal client all about?
So to get in touch with me, I would say best way is to go to my LinkedIn. And you can see links there. So just you can find me at Eric Berman would
Okay.
be the
We'll make sure
LinkedIn.
we'll have that like shared right on there really easy.
Because then my links are there. I mean, I mentioned the different sites. I mean, you can, you know, it's Eric at Brandatize, Eric at Speakeasy Mastermind. You know, either way, we can do the links and sites out there. Easy to find me with the ERIC, but we'll put that in there. So that was that. And then, oh, avatar. So best avatar. So for Brandtize, we're looking for, we say helping experts build their empire. So anybody who's a thought leader, anybody who's got, they're trying to teach or share what they're good at, their craft, their business. We like getting people behind cameras. So I say for the B2C side, it's somebody who's like, I'm selling information, or I'm teaching a course, or I'm on stage, or I'm a influencer, and I have ability to sell product. That's one avatar. And the avatar for the B2B side is, hey, how do I become a little, how do I gain more credibility? How do I get out of the pack of being like every other B2B? And our answer would be, well, let's make you a thought leader. Let's turn you into an expert. Let's get you behind camera talking passionately why you, why I should buy your product. So that's a little bit of what we look for on the branditized side. And for people who are just like, I need help with my marketing. I don't want to be sitting there tinkering around, getting under the hood and learning all this AI stuff and the paid media stuff and the branding stuff and the funnels and emails and blah, blah, blah. We come in there and help you there. On the speakeasy side, we have actually, I don't even know if you know this, but we actually offered recently what we call global membership. So people who are, I should say, cityless, meaning we don't have a location yet. Maybe I'm sitting in South Dakota. We might not be launching there quite yet, but they want to be part of the community. Great. You can also be a member there. So really from that, I'm just looking for my biggest needs, captains, anybody that wants to run a city, love to talk to you. Anybody else who is that entrepreneur, business owner, entrepreneur, business owner who's actively engaged in marketing, sales, biz dev, marketing centric. That's the kind of avatar we look for within the speakeasy community.
And as far as a captain, that's somebody that you're what are you the traits you're looking for in that person?
So we're looking for somebody who clearly is a good facilitator. Your two biggest roles are to be helping organize and curate a really good quality person for your group, because that's what everybody else is walking into. 75% of the value, I'd say, is the local group that's following the playbook that we've set forth. So in order for that to happen, you have to have somebody who's going to be able to follow the playbook, be a good facilitator and steward of the what we've created, and make sure there's good quality people in there, meaning recruiting them. And if there's some, there's a bad apple in the group, they also have to be able to get rid of them. Other than that, and again, you know, obviously be able to put their ego aside. Sometimes people that are, you know, have had such massive success and are like, well, I just want to use, you know, I'm just kind of a baller thing, and they feel that way, then it's going to come off like that, and it's not about them. They're the facilitator. It's almost like they're behind the scenes a little bit, even though it's hard for some people that are so used to getting the attention to be back behind the scenes. So that sometimes doesn't necessarily work for us. So we want that person who's also hungry to get a little bit of exposure. And it's great for them to get there. So they want to do some extra work, and they'll get compensated for that as well. So that's what we're looking for. We can respect them, and they're organized. It's not the easiest to herd cats with entrepreneurs. So they got to either do that or have a good right arm administrative person that can help them do that.
Okay. Makes sense. Good. One other thing that just crossed my mind as far as, you know, with the on the brandtize side of things. One thing that's happening in my world, well, actually in my wife's world. So she's kind of getting bigger and bigger, becoming, you know, and now it's that idea of she almost needs like an you know, almost like a sports agent, if you will. Like how to navigate all these different branding deals, all the random, right? Not even like, you know, how to get out there on social media, but it's like she's having these different companies come to her that, you know, hey, we want you to be involved. She's like, okay, I don't even know what that means. What should I ask him for? You know, like there's that is definitely starting to go. And then she has other friends, you know, in the space that's like, oh my gosh, she just signed this deal. She does like a branding deal with these people and gets paid this monthly thing to do these couple of things.
Crazy.
And it's that idea of like, how do you even navigate those? You know, what is it you really even should be asking? What direction should you be taking a lot of those relationships? Do you guys have somebody or do you guys deal in that aspect of things at all?
Yeah, I'd say not so much, a little bit. We have some familiarity, but typically what we tell our clients is, I have people that I know on a phone call away that if we don't do that thing, we will be your almost like your. We're like your team. Think of it as your COO, CMO, like we will just figure that out for you and manage it and have and take care of the situation. So we'd find an expert if we're not doing it in-house.
Got it. Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, great. It's been awesome. I mean, geez, hearing the whole story really for the first
Well,
time.
thank you.
And like I said,
Thank
again,
you.
I
Thank you.
think, I know what you guys have been doing at Branditize for a long time is amazing. I think, what you're doing now with the mastermind and everything. I mean, clearly, I mean, it's below every single time I talked to you. It went from like, yeah, we've got, one city, we're going on two, and now I can't even keep up with how many you just rattled off and how many you're going to. So
Yeah.
it's amazing,
Oh, I
man.
appreciate it. Well, good to see you again, and we'll connect more soon after this. And thank you for having me.
You got it. All right. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Take
Thank you for listening to Executing the Vision. If you'd like to be a guest, go to emergelabs.us and click on the podcast page. If you like what you heard, please share the episode and subscribe. Ratings and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. You can find us on Instagram at brad.emergelabs, as well as X, Facebook, and LinkedIn, where we strive to provide valuable information on business and life. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the show and what you'd like to see in future episodes. Thank you again, and have a great day.